Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, everybody. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, it's 10 o'clock. Welcome to American Vernacular, a conversation with the nation. My name is Sandra Booker. It's always a pleasure to be your host here every Wednesday morning as we bring you our take on the political, economic, social, and cultural issues facing our nation from an urban and secular perspective. And wow, it's gotten off to quite a crazy start already, folks. Today's program, we are going to talk about what I refer to as Anglonesia and how Anglo-America has forgotten her extremist religious history. I'm going to talk about this today, folks, because I think it's a conversation that we need to have, certainly with regard to the response by the by people here in the United States over the president's remarks. And their seeming disconnect to what America has been and continues to be. For example, the former New York City mayor says young black males shouldn't be allowed to own guns. Let me repeat that. Racist former New York City mayor Michael Bloomberg says young black males shouldn't be allowed to own guns. Do you realize it's the same mayor that's calling for U.S. African Alliance? But he doesn't think young black men should own guns. So do you think old black men should own guns? And if you don't think young black men should own guns, why are you comfortable with young white men having guns? Let us not forget that it was a young white military man who shot and killed Chris Kyle. It was not a young unarmed black man. Someone should explain that to Mr. Bloomberg, who is an uber Zionist and in fact a racist. You know, the same guy that gave us stop and frisk, the same guy that wants to stand up and talk about the tragedies and the horrors of what took place to the European Jews by Europeans, while bringing that same type of hostility and hatred and vitriol and racism and bigotry to the United States, courtesy of the American taxpayer. You have to have a special set of skills to be able to forget what was done to you while doing it to someone else. That seems to be the American way, folks. Do as I say, not as I do. I want to go on record, not as a journalist, but as a United States citizen born on this fine soil, that I absolutely denounce the speaking of Benjamin Netanyahu to the Congress of the United States. It is a disgraceful move by the Republicans. Someone should say so. I just did, and I'm not the only one. Despicable, disgusting, un-American, bold-faced racism, Anglo-American style. President Obama finds himself at the center of controversy yet again on the issue of race, racism, and religious extremism for remarks he made at this year's National Prayer Breakfast. He has come under heavy religious and conservative white fire, along with the usual media outrage, for reminding America that the moral foundations her own moral foundations were built on atrocities never prescribed by the Lord and Savior. So many profess to love, serve, and honor. He referenced the Crusades, but in doing so, reminded white America that time has not changed some of her worst traditions by connecting it to the horrors of Jim Crow. He reminded not only America, but also the world of the atoned, of her bloody history and why she is in no position to sit on a high horse, as she herself has not atoned for her original sins. He reminded her of every injustice denied humanity in the name of her own religious fervor and fanaticism. He reminded the great and mighty America that she did not act in a true Judeo-Christian fashion. He reminded the great and mighty America that she did this to the weakest in the land, made that way by those blessed beyond measure and favored equally so. He reminded her about the bloodshed for her acquisition of this land and the kidnapping and holding of humans as a right justified in the name of our kind and benevolent deity who made all people equal. This not so gentle shove down memory lane into oncoming truth traffic was a collision waiting to happen and in fact long overdue. I should liken it to the professor schooling the nation on her distant and not so distant past. And class was surely in session. Sure, those in religious, political, and the media have tossed their spitballs stuck gum to their desk and performed the usual course of armpit farts and eye rolls, but the assignment has been issued, and thus far, the nation gets a failing grade. The truth is still the thing that the American people hate to hear more than anything else, and this proved to be no exception. Whether some of us like it or not, and clearly a lot of us don't like it, the truth was spoken, and it was the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Bravo, Professor Obama. Sure, it has been met with cries of outrage, disbelief, and downright disgust by many Caucasians and believers, as if to suggest Christianity was not shoved down the throats and up the souls of many who chose reason over mind control-based fear. It's as if these crimes against humanity didn't exist and that the version the Negroes received is a gross exaggeration of what took place. Have they forgotten their own meticulous record-keeping of these historic events and all the big-budget cinematic spectaculars to ensure we never forget? Even if some of us wanted and maybe needed to, oh, sorry, it's on the big screen for all the world to see now. It is true that the African was kidnapped from his native land, held captive, bought and sold, stripped of his humanity with no rights nor anyone to advocate on his behalf, nor that of his offspring and mate, nor any hope of justice, while having the good book dictate that this was not merely the free will of his most favorite man, but it was and is the absolute will of the only true and living God. How can a nation be so utterly obtuse to their own history? It does boggle the mind. How can a people who never miss an occasion to assert their right to celebrate their God-given history and freedom have no ability to comprehend the dark and evil part of that history, culture, and psychology? Like it or not, Anglo-America, President Obama was right to remind you that you are in no position to point your finger of self-righteousness at anyone else when there are three pointing back at you for your own misdeeds and madness. With a past that includes church bombings, like the one at the 16th Street Baptist Church that resulted in the deaths of four little girls, Addie Mae Collins, Cynthia Wellesley, Carol Denise McNair, and Carol Robertson, or the assassination of Dr. George Tiller in the 21st century in the United States of America in the name of religious extremism? Or what about lynching, Christian organizations such as John Birch Society and the Ku Klux Klan that have used religion to advocate violence, with the latter being so bold as to burn the most sacred symbol of their own faith to terrorize others. Is it not time for the true believers to stand up against those who have hijacked their religious identity and voice? Even events such as the Salem witch trials highlight the extreme danger of any culture that believes itself superior to another. Whether one agrees with the president or not, the conversation has begun. In fact, the real anger is that for all of America's rhetoric, promises, and blustering about democracy and equality, President Obama's comments illuminated the true hearts and minds of the modern hypocrite and how, as one nation under God, we've been divided and continue to be so at our own choosing and to our own detriment. He highlighted America's lack of faith in her faith. Sure, she can talk and talk, but she is still sinking like a stone when attempting to walk the walk, and that's on terra firma. Judeo-Christian America, you have been called out loud and clear. Are you listening? Of course you aren't, but just imagine what the nation and possibly the world could evolve into if you could hear the truth about yourself and choose to do something about it other than deny it. America, now that your memory has been jogged, it is time to address your chronic anglonesia and revisit the lane of your past, present, and the course of your future. Start by hearing the message without having to hate the messenger. Tell me what you think, America. Tell me what you think, American Vernacular Family. Give me a call at 619-768-2924. That's 619-768-2924. Today we are discussing Anglonesia and how Anglo-America has forgotten her extremist religious history. You are listening to American Vernacular, a conversation with the nation, only on the Blog Talk Radio Network. My name is Sandra Booker. It is always a pleasure to be here on this program. We're going to take a short pause for the cause and we'll be right back.
On kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. Cream colored ponies and crisp apple strudels, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzel with noodles, wacky that fly with the moon on their wings. These are a few of my favorite things. Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes, snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes, silver white winters that melt into springs. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things. And then I don't feel so bad. Thank you. of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so your tie. You know the lady's in love with you. If she can dress for a date without that weight you hate, the lady's in love with you. And when your friends ask you over to join the table, but she picks that faraway booth for two, well, sir, that's how it stands. You've got romance on your hands. The lady's in love with you. If there's a gleam in her eye, it's time she straightens your tie. The lady's in love with you. If she can dress for a date without that weight you hate, the lady's in love with you. And when your friends ask you over to join the table, but she picks that faraway booth for two, well, sir, that's how it stands. You've got romance on your hands. The lady's in love with you.
Fireflies are gleaming. We can't. we amble back to my front door. We say goodnight and then we kiss some more. I guess you know I like you so. It started at the late, 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 at the late, late show.
From the 1995 release, very early, Minority, just before that, The Ladies in Love with You, and just before that, My Favorite Things, all from the very early release of 1995, featuring Frank Collette on piano, Andy Simpkins on bass, Bob Shepard on saxophone, and the always, always, always wonderful Krybek on the phone. You're truly on the call. The Dave Brewley List. Very early. Yours truly. Ta-da. Someone called and asked me to place my mind for a change, and I thought they're quite lovely, so I hope you enjoy. You are listening to American Vernacular, a combination. My name is Sandra Booker. I am America's favorite angry black woman because, yes, someone needs to be, and this is urban radio for urban people. It is progressive radio for progressive people. It is real radio for we, the people. Today we are talking about Anglonesia and Anglo-America's inability, decision, choice, option to simply forget her extremist religious past and why that's dangerous. Why we here in America can't allow that. Because that past is her true past. And she has done very little to improve her present, which makes me fear and have great concern for the future. Great concern for the future. And not only here at home, but abroad. The Business Insider, Stephen Miller from the Times of Israel, writes an article that says, here's the real reason Netanyahu probably isn't going to cancel his speech to Congress. My feeling is he shouldn't have to cancel it. It should be canceled for him by the American people. And I find that it is absolutely outrageous that the American people have not stood up in enough numbers to make sure that this does not happen. It's outrageous. And we, the American people, are to blame for that. Not President Obama, not the Congress. Because if they represent the people, they're not representing the people. And that is the fault of the people. This article says, and I quote, Israeli and America political and media scrutiny and focus on U.S. President Barack Obama, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and the U.S.-Israel relationship and Iran's nuclear drive has been intense of late, thanks to the row surrounding Netanyahu's upcoming speech to a joint session of the U.S. Congress. That right there should not be allowed. Amid the headlines and commentary, one important voice has not been heard. That of the Iranian. Let me stop. Let me slow down. It says, amid the headlines has not been heard. That of the Israeli voter. Let me stop you right there. The Israeli voter, the Israeli taxpayer, does not do a damn thing for the United States of America. Does not do a damn thing for the American voter, nor the American taxpayer. So that is a voice, though it may be important on the other side of the Middle East, not important here. Not important here. Not important when a nation that has been given the type of unilateral support that Israel has enjoyed while occupying foreign soil, I'm not required to bow to that nation when that nation has been allowed to kill 17 journalists with impunity in the name of defending itself. I can't do that. I'm not required to do that. And as a taxpayer, I shouldn't be required to do that. And if these are the people that are running our nation and our government, we need to get rid of them. According to the Times of Israel, there's a survey that finds Israeli voters have an increasingly negative perception of President Obama and decreasing faith in him to prevent Iran from attaining nuclear weapons. Here's an idea, folks. Maybe if we stop giving Israel weapons, Iran, who has been in that part of the world longer than Israel, might not feel the need to arm itself. And perhaps if Palestine had had guns, they might not find themselves being under attack. You know, the same argument that Rush Limbaugh made about black people, if they had had guns, they wouldn't have been slaves. Well, maybe if the Palestinians were properly armed, they would not be living as if they are slaves on their actual land of origin. Am I not supposed to say that? Because that might offend somebody and they don't want to hear that truth. I couldn't care less. And I can't care. I don't care. Israeli voting of my president. It's not my president going over to Israel to tell Israel how to conduct our affairs. And perhaps the Israelis should check themselves, check their government, check their leadership. Because on the stage, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is an extraordinary catastrophic failure. And that's the truth. How racist of this nation not to oppose him coming here and speaking. What about the rule of law? Oh, it gets tossed out the window when it's our Zionist friends. Well, I'm not a friend of Zionism. I denounce Zionism, everything that it stands for. Period. And since I don't enjoy dual citizenship, but I'm born in this nation, that makes me a full free American citizen, I'm going to say that. And I don't say that on behalf of anybody else, but if you agree with me, feel free to let me know. The fact that has been shown the president because of the color of his skin, despite being half white and black. Racial attacks on every person in the state we have. And the American Negro demographic in general. And reports that America is becoming a more red nation than a blue nation. How so? And why? Didn't you believe only when you said, hey, if you go to school and get an education and live a clean life and work really hard and do school, you could grow up to the president of the United States. Somebody queue up on that. Someone took you up on that. And did all of it. And has done an outstanding job. And we don't give this president our adoration and our respect and our admiration and our gratitude. We give him our disdain. We reject him at every turn. Categorize him as if he's something other. To make something art. What he is, American. It is time for you to wake up, America, not sleep, snap out of your fairy tale. You can't leave a tall building in a single bound. True. Your affluenza, your white privilege, and now your amnesia. It can't be allowed anymore. And perhaps that's why you feel young black men should be armed. That Negroes need to learn to be silent like the good old days. That this is God's will of human beings. Under the law of man who made that God and those laws. You're not fooling me with none of that bullshit. I'm just going to keep it real with you. I'm not even speaking as a journalist in this moment. I'm speaking as a full American. That bullshit. Snap out of your delusion and be told the truth about yourself. If you don't want to tell it yourself, then you have to be told. It has to be told to you. And as long as you are allowed to believe that any person anywhere in the world is a minority to you, you not only fail to know your God, clearly you don't have one. You have to be reminded of the lynchings that you enjoyed after your church service because you had the ability to do that and you did not show mercy. That is what you did in the name of your God. You have to talk about church bombings and the highway shootings by police officers who felt entitled to do it as members of the Ku Klux Klan, that fine American Christian organization. You have to be told and reminded, America, that the three young men in Mississippi of the murder of Luisa Viola Luisa, of the assassination of Medgar Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, John F. Kennedy. You cannot be allowed to pretend your history is not your history. when in fact it is your history repeating itself daily. What could be more racist, hateful, but justified in the name of God as if it's correct than something that's vile and disgusting? Stop and frisk and stand your ground. You've been allowed to get away with it for a long time, America, white America, Anglo America, half-breed America. Time for that privilege to be cut off. You are entitled to be reminded daily of who you have chosen to be over the generations, over the centuries. And when you want to hold your history like fine cinema, it should be critiqued and criticized for the vicious, savage endeavor that it has always been. You have never, ever risen to the occasion of being up. Look at your history. The treatment of Jackie Robinson and Joe Johnson, Muhammad Ali, the treatment of Jay Hill and Michelle Obama and Oprah Winfrey and Rosa Parks. The portrayal of Miss Jane Kitten. The murder of Emmett Till. George Davis, Kenneth Taylor, Sherry Singleton, Mark X. If you have a God, you know your God. Maybe you should work on that. It is time to remind America of who she is and demand that she do better. And if she can't, don't get up. I didn't tell you about your failing, because your failure to do better is also of a choosing. You got that? Choose better, white America, and maybe your history will be horrific to you too. I want to remind you, my friends, to tune in every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time for Brass Knuckle Progressives with my good friends Scott Henderson and Kona Lowell, as we bring you grassroots and progressive commentary on the big stories of the day. You can find us on Facebook at Brass Knuckle Progressives Radio. Again, that's on Facebook and Twitter at Brass Knuckle Progressives Radio. Also, remember to like American Vernacular on Google Plus, and that's where you find these days. I want to remind you that I have been blocked again 30 days from Facebook for exercising my First Amendment right. I'm asking all of my friends and followers and listeners and fans and even detractors that if you believe in freedom of speech, please go to my page and ask Facebook to knock off the BS. Everyone has a right to be heard. It is called social media for a reason, and I'm going to ask you to visit my webpage at www.americanvernacular.org. Join my Fundly campaign, No Censorship in Social Media. Make a small contribution or a large one so that we can continue to the fight to make sure there is no censorship in social media and that every person has a right to be heard, because you do hear, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to American Vernacular, a conversation with a nation. I'll let you all know I'm going to be going to KPFK, but I will be released in the next couple of months. A wonderful expose on public radio and why it has done a great disservice to the American people and what you can do to change that as well. It was a very interesting investigation, and I could be very, very pleased to see what I thought, at least my perspective on it, and why we need to get more people involved in public radio, creating public radio outlets via the internet so that you have alternatives and there is a place for you to, in fact, be heard. Visit me at www.americanvernacular.org. And you know, to become my friends on Brass Knuckle Progressives Radio. Hey, I want to take a moment to give a shout out to my good friend, Mr. Garrett Morris, who celebrated a birthday on February 4th. Hey, teenager, you look great. You're doing great. So glad that you're still with us. And may you have many, many more birthdays to celebrate, my brother. That's always a wonderful thing when somebody's on this side of the line, folks. The great Billy Higgins, my godfather, often said, it's great to be seen whenever someone said, good to see you. And that's a wonderful thing. So sure enough about that. If you want to hit me with a comment, you can hit me with a comment at American Vernacular, our conversation with the nation on Facebook. It's always nice to hear from my friends. And I want to encourage you as we continue to go through Black History Month, I want to remind you that Black history is not consisting of one month. There would be no American history if there were no Black history. You cannot have one without the other. But if 28 days is what you get, take that 28 days to study, to remember, to educate yourself about the greatness and the great contributions that Africans made to the creation of this nation. And without those Africans, this nation would not and could not exist. You did that before God found favor in you. You did that before they demonstrated God had any favor in them. They did not take this land by praying. This land was taken with guns and blood and guts and tears. There can never be reparation for it. But just because we don't want to hear the truth about it doesn't mean someone should not speak it. And until we can deal with that, we can deal with nothing. That is what we have to deal with. That is the truth that we have to speak. It does not matter who likes it. It's still the truth. Please join me here every Wednesday at 10 a.m., baby. American Vernacular, a conversation with the nation, because I want to talk to you. And I know you guys have missed me on Facebook, but that's okay. Join me on Google. Join me on Instagram. Follow me here. Become a follower of this show and become a friend of the show. All you have to do is tune in and let other people know to tune in. If you find that this program offers you something of value, let me know by writing me. Or just become a follower and invite your friends to become a follower. This program is for you. This is urban radio for urban people. This is progressive radio for progressive people. This is real radio for we the people. I want to hear from you. You have a voice. Let it be heard, ladies and gentlemen. I want to take a moment to remember our good friend, Zane Musa. For those of you who are not aware, there is going to be a benefit February 16th. It's going to be this coming Monday, February the 16th at 7 p.m. at the Sofitel Los Angeles at Beverly Hills. Friends and family of Zane Musa will come together for a memorial service and celebration of his life. Opportunities will be available to share recollection stories, Zane-isms, and a multimedia presentation of some of the highlights of his career and life will be shown. Please come out and join us. The event will be held in the Sofitel Ballroom, and a reception and music tribute and jam session will be held downstairs at the Riviera 31 Bar and Lounge following the service. Parking will be available at the Beverly Center across the street. And for those staying after midnight, free parking will be available at the Beverly Connection. The Sofitel Los Angeles at Beverly Hills is located at 8555 Beverly Boulevard. That's Los Angeles, California, 90048. Please come out. Please come and celebrate. If you cannot make it, I ask that you send your memories of Zane Musa to rememberingzanemusa at gmail.com. That's rememberingzanemusa. M-U-S-A at Gmail. In lieu of flowers, you may make a check or make a donation to the Charles Dolo Coker Jazz Foundation. Write Zane Musa Scholarship in the memo, and you can forward that donation to the Charles Dolo Coker Jazz Scholarship Foundation. That's P.O. Box 480028, Los Angeles, California, 90048. And donations can also be made at the memorial this coming Monday, February 16th, at the Sofitel Hotel at Beverly Hills. Please come out if you can. It should be a wonderful celebration of a life cut short, but an extraordinary life, an extraordinary talent nonetheless. And I hope you will come out and join us to celebrate and remember the great Zane Musa, our friend here at American Vernacular. A wonderful, wonderful brother in music and the arts, and I hope you will come out and join us as we remember and celebrate this wonderful young man. I'm going to devote the rest of the program to him. And I ask that you take a moment to spend some time with the folks that you love, because it's real important, people. We're not promised anything. Here today, gone today, and that's real too. Have a wonderful Wednesday, folks. I'll be in touch really soon. I want to take one more moment to remind you that if you are interested in attending the Women of Color Beyond Faith Forum, let me remind you, shame on me for almost forgetting this. Ooh, I hate when that happens. Please visit freethoughtblogs.com. That's freethoughtblogs.com. The Women of Color Beyond Faith Forum. I am absolutely honored and humbled to have been asked to be panelists for this event. It is coming up on February 22nd. It's going to be at 11:30 a.m. And I will consider joining us. Truly of a commander and Stacey Goddard of the Los Angeles Women's Atheistic Group. We're going to be discussing how you navigate secularism, atheism, humanism, and historically religious communities and family. How do the WOC find and create safe spaces for secular lifestyles and belief systems? How are the experiences, worldviews, and social agenda world of women of color be a faith secularist distinct from that of white secularists in general and white women secularists in particular? It's going to be a great forum. I hope you will come out and join us. For more information, please visit blogs.com. Or you can look Women of Color Beyond Faith Forum. That is Women of Color Beyond Faith Forum. I feel very interesting. I'm really looking forward to this event. And I hope you'll be here to join us. It should be very, very enlightening. So as our march towards social justice in 2015. All right, folks. Hey, have a great Wednesday. Let's check up out of here so I can go get the thing rocking for the rest of the week. You do the same. Remember, this is always urban radio for urban people. It is progressive radio for progressive people. It is real radio for we the people. Have a great one, folks. I'll talk to you soon.
the sound rain can make. Nice to lie here, softly sighing, you and I here.
American Vernacular is produced by the Vocal Group.